there's a lot of eating and drinking Jesus here. And it's not really that surprising that the crowd that he was talking to were like, what are you talking about? Which is kind of a running theme through John's gospel. In John chapter 3, Jesus was speaking to a guy named Nicodemus, and he said, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus was like, what are you talking about? I can't return to my mother's womb and be born again. That's just crazy talk. And then a chapter later, he encountered a woman who was at a well, and they had a whole interaction. You should read it in John chapter 4. But at one point, he says, you should drink from me, and then you'll never thirst again. And she says, please, sir, give me that water to drink. But really, what she's going is, what are you talking about? How do you drink Jesus? How do you eat Jesus? How do you be born again? And so the same theme of Jesus using these metaphors to describe himself and help explain who he is, and people not getting it, runs all through, especially John's gospel. He loves these things. And it actually, but it's not just in the Bible. In the first century, I think Heather might mention this again next week if you don't catch it, but in the first century, one of the reasons why Christians were persecuted, were executed at different times was because the rumor was that Christians were cannibals. So every week they would gather and they would celebrate what we call the Lord's Supper. So think about the words here. You've got a loaf of bread. This is my body, which is broken for you. Imagine you know very little. You've maybe heard some Christmas stories. Jesus was born as a little baby. One of the rumors was that what Christians did is they took a baby, baked it inside of a loaf of bread, and ate it at church on Sundays. I would persecute Christians too. I don't know about you. But it's all linked to these metaphors that Jesus uses. Because sometimes metaphors just confuse us. How do you eat flesh? How do you drink the blood if you're not really talking about cannibalism? If you're not really talking about human sacrifice or any of those kind of things? Interestingly, too, when John was writing his gospel, he used two different words in this part of it. At the beginning of this section, when he's saying you should eat this bread, you should eat this flesh, he uses a word that simply means eat. It's just a polite way of saying, I've got some food to eat, there you go. But then when we get to verse 54, he says, eat my flesh, and he uses a different word. He uses a word that's the same word that gets used of animals that are eating. It's not just, oh, have a nice, polite little snack there. It's crunch. It's munch on it. It's gnaw at it. It's got this idea, this kind of visceral sense of the way an animal is going to be eating their food, grabbing whatever they can, and it's crunching. I think about, you might not hear it, but when we celebrate communion and we use those little rice crackers, the gluten-free crackers, which are great, it always gives me just a little giggle because let's eat this bread. Crunch, 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 crunch. This whole room is just filled with all of that crunching, which I think is kind of like the word that's meant. You can't hide the fact that you're eating. You can't have just a polite little taste. The word he's using here is that you're gnawing it, you're munching it, you're crunching it. You're really going to town on this flesh, on Jesus. Have you ever heard the phrase, you are what you eat? I wondered if there was, it's a very English phrase. It was being used as far back as like the 1930s in advertising, particularly around dieting programs. You are what you eat, you are what you eat. Meaning whatever you put in your body is what you become. I was thinking about that a lot when I was reading this. And what Jesus is saying here is those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life. Jesus, who is the source of all life, right? We eat Jesus. That's the source of our life. That is what we become. We become like Jesus. We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being the presence of Jesus, the presence of God here with us on earth. You see, when we start becoming Christians, when we talk about what it is that we're following Jesus, it's about more than just believing the right things. I think a lot of times, I don't know about your journey of faith, but in my journey of faith, it was really put out there that you just have to believe in Jesus. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and then everything's good. Then you're safe from hell, was kind of the way it was put out there, right? That it was as simple as that. Believe the right things. Believe Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that through him you'll have eternal life. And then you're set. Then go on about your life, because then you're set. But make sure you make that commitment. But it's about so much more than that. That it's not that that is wrong. That is right. When we believe in who Jesus is, when we give our lives to Jesus, eternal life is the reward. Death has no power over us. The Apostle Paul says, death, where is your sting, right? Where is your victory? It's gone when we belong to Jesus. But it's not just a brain thing. It's not just about saying, oh, well, I'm thinking the right things, or I'm believing the right things, or I have the right knowledge. It's about fully participating in the life of Jesus. I think this is what this whole metaphor of Jesus being the bread from heaven or the bread of life or saying that we have to eat his flesh and drink his blood, I think that that's what this is really all about. It's about fully participating in his life. We take him in and he becomes part of us. Just like regular food, we take it in and for better or for worse, it becomes part of us, right? Those who eat my flesh, he said this in verse 56, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. John's gospel uses this idea of abiding in Jesus a lot. It's a familiar one for him. And see, we talk about eat my flesh, drink my blood. And even once a month when we celebrate communion, you know, we have the table up here, we have those crunchy crackers and we have the grape juice here. And we talk about how the bread represents Jesus' body and the juice represents Jesus' blood. And so we hear these words and maybe that's where our brains go, that, oh, eat my flesh and drink my blood and abide in me. That's what we do once a month when we come to the table. But it's about so much more, again, than that celebration of communion. Jesus isn't just talking, and John isn't just sharing this story as a reminder of this kind of ritual that the Christian church engaged in right from the very beginning as they gathered together. It's about so much more than that. Abiding, that word of abiding, it's relational. It's ongoing. It's about having an ongoing relationship with Jesus, not just a one-off. Yes, Jesus, you know, in the best of my ability, I believe you are who you said you are, and so now I'm safe from hell and I'm going to live forever. Isn't that wonderful? It's about so much more, because Jesus isn't just saying, just make the statement and you're good. He's saying, abide in me. And in response, as you abide in me, I will abide in you. And Jesus, who is the very source of life itself, is that life then that lives in us. Not just after we have died and we've raised and we've gone to heaven, but here and now, that we have that life of Jesus himself in us. It's extraordinary. And he says, you know, If you don't have me abiding in me, in you, you can't know life. You can't live forever. Because again, Jesus is the source of life. In Genesis, we talk about how God spoke and things were created. God breathed into the first human being and that human being was created. When the Holy Spirit, much later at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit breathed over the disciples and all of a sudden they were gifted with all these gifts of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the life that is the divine life, the life of God, that takes up residence, that abides in us. Now, I'm not saying that we become gods. Please don't hear that. It's not like something magical happens and, okay, so Jesus lives in me, so now, you know, oh, worship me, I'm a secondary god, but aren't I great? No, that's not what's happening here. But we are equipped, we are empowered, we are inspired, we are gifted by God's own Spirit. We are given this gift of life, not just life like, oh, I can breathe now, but life in its abundance that it was all meant to be, being the created creatures that we were intended to be at the very beginning. We are freed from that, from the stranglehold of sin. We can be forgiven from that. That can be wiped out of us. We are freed from the victory of death. Death doesn't get to hold us anymore. All of that because Jesus lives in us, because there's this relationship we have with Jesus who abides in us as we abide in him. It's about us being nurtured by Jesus. It's about Jesus in an ongoing, day-to-day, hour-by-hour kind of way being fully present with us and us being fully present with Jesus. Now, I have to tell you that Jesus is way better at that than we are. We aren't always very good at being fully present with Jesus, are we? We get distracted by life. We get distracted by all the things that are going on. Sometimes we forget that we're even with Jesus. We have no awareness whatsoever that Jesus is even in any of this with us because we lose track of that. So it's not just that Jesus nurtures us. As with any relationship, we also have to nurture that relationship. We have to continue to be abiding in Jesus. We have to be continuing to grab onto that food, which is Jesus, to take it in, to crunch it, to gnaw it, to bring it in, not just as, oh, look at those sweet little hors d'oeuvres. I think I'll take one or I'll take two. But the best food you've ever had, and you can't possibly restrict yourself because there's so much and it's the best thing that you've ever tasted. And it never fills you up and it doesn't make you fat. How great is that? You can just eat and eat and eat of this flesh that is Jesus, and just constantly be filled with the life of who he is. If we abide in him and he abides in us, it's about participating fully in Jesus' life. And what that means is the same way as Jesus lived his life that we read about in the Gospels, as he was healing people, as he was kicking out demons, as he was speaking truth, as he was teaching people, as he was showing compassion, all the things that Jesus did, he's still doing. He's not here physically in a physical, hey, that guy is Jesus, and he's doing those things. But Jesus is here, and he's doing all of those things. And as we participate fully in Jesus, as we abide in Jesus, it means that we're also doing those things. It's like Jesus is in us doing those things through us. So then if we're not caring for people, if we're not showing compassion, if we aren't praying for each other, if we aren't forgiving when wrongs have been done, if we aren't loving not just our friends but our enemies, if we aren't loving our neighbors, if we aren't living out the action of love that Jesus modeled, that Jesus is giving to the world, are we abiding in Jesus? We have to take in Jesus so we have Jesus to give out. We have to constantly be eating that flesh and drinking that blood that is Jesus, the living bread that came down from heaven for us. See, Jesus is alive and he's still doing all of those things. And not only that, but eternal life, all of those things, all of that, the presence of Jesus in us is the presence of that eternal life here and now. But let's not downplay that it's also eternal life. That when I go to my grave, I don't stay in my grave, but I get to live forever with Jesus. With all the, there's a metaphor that Jesus uses about weeds and grain and waiting until the harvest to get rid of all of the weeds. And I think about that for myself and I think, oh, a day's gonna come when I leave the grave and all the weeds stay put in the grave and it's just me as I was meant to be. In Jesus' presence, worshiping forever, knowing full, abundant, eternal life forever. That is a promise, and Jesus always keeps his promises. That is a promise. When he says, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them, when we go to the grave, Jesus doesn't stop abiding. We stay with Jesus. We stay with his present, fully present with him. We don't have to have any fear of death. We can be sad about death. Grief is a good thing, whether we're the one who's leaving or we're the ones who are left behind. Grief is part of how God made us, that we are sad, that we are angry, that we suffer that loss. But death doesn't win. Eternal life is promised, is assured. there was a song that came out, I don't know, 20 years ago, maybe longer. And the song is titled "I Can Only Imagine." And it's a song that just says, it's imagining, what is life after death? What is life with Jesus going to be like? What do you imagine, right? Think about that for yourself for a moment. When you think about that day, when you were raised to new life in the presence of Jesus for all eternity, with all the weeds discarded, with all the worries and the fear and the sin gone, what is that life? I've always loved this song because, well, it asks us, can you imagine life with Jesus forever? What'll it be like? Will we dance? Will we sing? Will we fall to our knees in worship? We can only imagine. We don't know. People don't come back to tell us. But because of who God is, a God who loves us so much, he wanted, did everything he could to adopt us into his family, that we will be welcomed there as his kids, as his beloved. Those who eat the bread of life, Jesus, those who participate fully in Jesus' life, those who abide in Jesus and he in them, will live forever with him.